Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here, and I hope that you're enjoying a nice three-day weekend here for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday in the United States. And we're just glad that you're kicking off another week with us here on the show. We've got Veronica out in New Jersey standing by to share a great trip report to kick off this week. But first, a quick word from our sponsors, and today's show is brought to you by TheRunningBuddy.com. Planning a trip to the happiest place on Earth? Share your love for your favorite mouse with the Running Buddy's new Disney Luxe Travel Collection. They offer a variety of products like Mickey and Minnie Mouse backpacks, purses, magnetic, hands-free buddy pouches, and more. You even get a free Disney pin with each purchase. Also, as a special gift to the Be Our Guest podcast listeners, use the code BEOURGUEST for 10% off at checkout. Check them out today over at TheRunningBuddy.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at TouringPlans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. Of course, they have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the cost of a couple of Mickey pretzels, in the hub on Main Street, USA, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1435 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. I hope that you're having maybe a day off. Now, I don't get the day off anymore. I used to when I was a teacher, but today is just a regular Monday. But thanks again to Dr. King, who helped advance our country to just be a little bit better so we can all be a little bit nicer to each other. So, just think about that a little bit today as we celebrate Dr. King Day. But of course, we got a great trip report because it is Monday. So we're heading out to the East Coast. We're heading out to Jersey. Never been there, but I want to visit sometime. Veronica is on the line. Veronica, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, no, thank you for having me. So excited.
So is New Jersey as exciting as it looks on TV, like on all the sitcoms and all the dramas and all the reality TV. I mean, because Missouri's kind of boring. We don't have much going on here.
I don't know. I guess life is what you make of it. But no, it's not really like the Jersey Shore per se. We have a good time. We enjoy all four seasons. And that's about it.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go to the beach there and check it out because the only beach I've really been to is in the Caribbean or Florida. So maybe someday I'll get up that way.
That's probably a nicer beach, so don't worry about it.
All righty. So today we're going to squeeze in, it's a holiday. We're going to have a good time. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to sneeze. We're not going to sneeze. We're going to squeeze in three trips. If you got to sneeze, you got to sneeze. Don't hold it back. Stifling a sneeze can hurt. So we're going to talk about three trips, kind of talk about your progression as a Disney fan and the journey you've been on, how it's changed over the past three trips to Walt Disney World, and we're sneaking in a little bit of Disneyland as well today. So, Veronica, give us kind of the backstory. Why are you a Disney fan? What's your history with Disney? And why are you here on a Disney podcast? What brought you here?
All right. So what started this current love of Disney, me and my love, we were planning our first couple's vacation, thinking about where to go, and she has suggested Disney World, and she had gone plenty of times with her family. They usually stayed off-site. The only experience I had with Disney World was we went for my 7th birthday. So we are now in our early 30s. That was a long time ago, and I thought, sure, why not? As I started to plan, found the podcast, shout out to the Mouse for Less Facebook group, found people, helped plan, and now I'm really obsessed, and I love it. So that pretty much started our first progression, and we've kind of done Disney three different ways, adults-only trip, and I look forward to kind of giving some tips and things, different things that we did.
All right, sounds great. I love hearing that progression of how things, get started and the ball gets rolling. So were you one of those people that, you decided you guys were going to go down? We're going to talk about the world trip that you took in September of 2016, that first kind of reintroduction to Walt Disney World. But were you kind of like me? About 15 years ago, that's where I was. I went down for the first time and I was just, I went the first time, and then when I came back, I couldn't get enough, you know, and this was like almost pre-internet. You know, there wasn't as much on the internet as there is today. There weren't podcasts, stuff like that. I had to go to the library and get, you know, the Birnbaum's guide and stuff like that. I mean, I feel like I am old, but you know, it's like, I couldn't get enough. Is that kind of how it was for you, that you mentioned the Mouse for Less Facebook group, but I mean, was the planning half of the fun for you at that point?
Oh my God. I think it's, it's probably about 80% of the fun. And I'm a planner in general. I love a good Excel sheet. I love budgeting. So when I started to plan and learned about all of the different aspects of planning, and for me, it's really about also creating the experiences. So, you know, I kind of remembered, we stayed at the Polynesian, I remember as a kid, and I remember the Mickey waffles, but I didn't quite remember much else. So it was a matter of seeing, like, what's new, what's going on, what could we do, and as adults, what could we really enjoy together? And I think it was, you know, we learned about the really good food and the drinks here and there, and I didn't really know what to expect. But without a doubt, the planning is 100%. I mean, I talk about Disney all the time. People are like, you need to find a way to do this as a side gig or something. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, it is. I'm obsessed, definitely.
Yeah, trust me, I know what you feel. Many people told me you need to do that as a side gig, and it became so big, it's my big gig. Yes, that's all I do. Disney 24/7.
I often dream about the time when we both just quit whatever we're doing up here in Jersey and make our way to Florida, and I work at Disney World. So we'll see where life brings us.
That's true. That's where the journey takes you, man. Because I can tell you what, the more I get involved with, you know, I do, obviously, I'm a travel agent, you know, working with Disney Vacations. I do the podcast. I do all kinds of stuff. But it gets so busy that I don't have as much time to, like, read blogs and stuff like that. It's ironic how I have less time to kind of sit back and take it all in. Now it's more like diving into the details, which, I mean, I can't complain. I love it. But, you know, you got to watch what you wish for sometimes, because I'm so in it that I'm like, I don't get to see the big picture. But anyway, let's talk about your trip. So you went down in September of 2016, and you mentioned, you know, kind of, it's a lot different when you go as adults. You know, I just got back from a solo trip, and when you don't have a family, kids, you know, with you, it's way different. You know, it's very freeing. You look for different, you know, maybe you're not looking to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You're looking to visit Trader Sam's over at the Polynesian or stuff like that. So tell us about that trip. Where'd you guys stay and what were some of the highlights?
Okay. So going into it, like I said, I didn't really know what we were doing. I knew we didn't have a lot of money. We wanted to go as affordably as possible. So that's one thing that I tell a lot of people. It really is possible, especially with the free dining, especially with all the different deals. I just reached out to a friend of mine who's a travel agent, and I said, we want to go. This is what we're looking to do. 5 nights, cheapest hotel. What can we do? And the two of us ended up going down there. We did 5 nights at All Star Music. We did 2-day park hoppers and the free dining for about $1,600, so about $800 a piece, which I feel like, you know, you go on vacation, you're going to easily spend $1,000 a person. So for me, for both of us, it was a really great deal. We knew that we weren't going to get a ton of time in the parks, but we wanted to do the 2-day park hoppers, do 2 parks a day, just to kind of get a taste and start with that. So we made our way down, and I know we talk a lot on the pod, like I'm part of the podcast.
It's a big family. We're all part of this.
Yeah, you all talk a lot on the podcast about that, like, first day tradition. So we set our first day tradition. We made our way down. Our first day always consists of the park that shall not be named. We do get free passes. My love over here works for another company that might not be named, and we get to go to Universal for free. So our first day is always Universal. Just kind of makes the most economical sense. And then we make our way to a resort for dinner. So our first night and our last September 16 trip, we went to Ohana for dinner. There was a little tip. If you make a reservation around the time of fireworks and go early enough and ask for a window seat, then they pipe in the music. You get to watch the fireworks. You watch the parade on the water. And that was one of the best tips that we got. It was a really fantastic and romantic way to start our trip, and very filling. I think we definitely were in a little bit of a food coma after Ohana, but always delicious.
I was there.
And then we spent the next 2 days park hopping, Animal Kingdom. Enjoyed all of that, The Lion King, which, oh my God, if people haven't seen The Lion King, so have to. And then we finished out our first day at Epcot Drinking Around the World, which is the most fun adult thing to do.
Let me ask you, Veronica, about that real quick, because I think a lot of people go in with this goal of drinking around the world at Epcot, but I think a lot of people probably get three or four countries in and kind of abandon that idea. I don't. Maybe it's just me. I couldn't do it. You know, I have a margarita in Mexico and I'm done. You know, I drink around one country and that's about it. So, yeah, did you make it all the way around and how'd that go?
We did. And we most of the time got our own drinks. We made a deal of like, okay, well, we're just going to stick to one kind of drink. So you do the beers, I'll do the mixed drinks. We shared a couple drinks here and there, but what was actually really funny, by the time we hit Italy, it started to rain and then it started to downpour. And we kind of snuck inside somewhere, wasted some time in Italy. And we had dinner reservations in Le Cellier. So I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, we have a mission. We need to get to Canada. We need to drink around the world. So we just started booking it. Downpour rain would run up to a kiosk. I'm like, cold sake for two. And like, we would just shoot it back. And that actually probably was a worse idea than leisurely making your way around the world.
I would say
but,
so.
By the time I got to Canada, and I definitely don't remember that meal.
Oh, man. All. Oh, my gosh. You paid all that money for the meal. You're breaking my heart, Veronica. You're breaking my heart.
Whenever we think about it, I'm like, what did we eat? I remember.
Oh, my gosh. Don't go to a signature meal if you're going to do that.
It was a good experience. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. Yeah, if you start early enough. We did it again this time around, and we actually told ourselves, okay, probably not going to do that again.
Yeah.
But it's a great experience. It's a great way to experience Epcot for sure.
Absolutely.
Our next day, we did the Park Hoppers Hollywood Studios in Magic Kingdom. Just a little bit of time in Hollywood Studios. It was at that time when a lot was not really around. Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster, etc. Made our way to Magic Kingdom. We had lunch at Be Our Guest, which was a great experience, and dinner at Columbia Harbor House. I know you always talk about Columbia Harbor House.
Yes.
Highly recommended. That lobster roll is phenomenal.
Yes.
So when we finished our day at Magic Kingdom, we actually snuck out during the fireworks. It kind of got crazy. That was our first experience of craziness, fireworks, and all of that. So we figured, oh, we saw it from Ohana window. We're okay. Which, big mistake, but no worries. So we stuck out during the fireworks and actually had missed the electrical parade. And then later, after the trip, found out that it wasn't going to, that they were taking it away, and that was kind of sad. But so the rest of our trip, we just enjoyed. We did Disney Springs another day. We went to have breakfast at 1900 Park Fair, which is phenomenal. That is highly recommended. Anybody who goes down, if you're thinking about a character breakfast, you must do it. It's to the point where my love is like, can we start our trip and end our trip with breakfast at 1900 Park Fair? And I'm like, well, we could have a little bit of a variety. That would be nice. But we love that. And we actually went, we did another day at Universal and we went to 1900 Park Fair with our Harry Potter shirts. And that was like the most embarrassing. Everyone was
say,
like,
boy, you're be careful, man. You're crossing the streams with that. I don't know if I'd go there.
We didn't realize. And then we went to the gift shop and we were like, should we just buy new shirts? And we decided against it. But that pretty much, you know, wraps up. Oh, one of my favorite memories of our first trip was our nighttime swimming, because that pool water at Disney, I dream about it. Perfect temperature, a margarita. Ugh.
I know. We don't talk about that much on the show, but the pools at Disney, at the resorts, and I'm talking values, moderates, deluxes, it doesn't matter. Like, you're right. I mean, they're comfortable at night. A lot of times it's just good to get your shoes off, get in the pool, kind of let your muscles relax. And like, they're lit up so nice. And there's always nice pool bars, like you said, too. I mean, they're so inviting, especially when you get back from a park off a bus and you see that pool, you're like, man, it's because we go a lot in the summer. I'm like, man, that looks so good right now.
You're like, I could just jump in like this. Who needs a bathing suit?
Oh, yeah, totally.
So that was pretty much our September 16. It was, you know, our first. We wanted a little taste of everything. It gave us an idea of the parks that we liked and, you know, maybe a couple staples to always make our way back to. But it was great. All-Star was great. You know, a lot of times you're not really in your room that much, but some people may, you know, oh, it's a value resort, but we would go back in a heartbeat. All-Star Music was so much fun. The accommodations were great. The food court was great. Definitely nothing bad to say about any of that.
And you guys sure ate well for you're talking about such a value trip, but you're, you know, 1900 Park Fair, Le Cellier, Be Our Guest. I mean, you guys had a really nice dining slate for a value trip. I like it.
That's where a big tip in the gift cards, you know, any holiday, any birthday. We actually went down with about $600 in gift cards. Most of it were gifts, I was just leaving my last job at that time. And you know, when you leave a job, everybody collects money and then you get some kind of like paperweight with your name on it. So I told my boss, I was like, I was like, just give me Disney gift cards. And I actually ended up getting, I think, a little over $300 in Disney gift cards as I left my last job. So we just collected gift cards, you know, anytime we had a little extra money, bought a gift card. And we went down with enough money to kind of treat ourselves to a couple of special things.
Huh. That's a great idea. You know, I when I left teaching, I think they gave me a cake and changed the locks before I could even get off the parking lot. So that's how that went for me. I'll tell you what, they didn't give me Disney gift cards. I can tell you that much. But I don't care. I immediately drove out of the lot, went to Las Fuentes, and we had a party. So that's all I got to say about that. So that sounds fun. Now, okay, so we're going to get three trips in here. Now, this next one's a little quickie. You guys went out to Disneyland. So tell us about how that happened.
Yes. So our annual 2017 vacation, we're talking about what we want to do. And I had always wanted to do a road trip down the California coast. So we did that. We spent a day in Disneyland. It was just one day. So we were trying to figure out what to do best. So we just stick with Disneyland Park. And that pretty much, you know, a lot of people hear the differences. Disneyland is much smaller, but it is really beautiful. You know, the original park, it has a lot of great features, a lot of great different lands that you don't see in Magic Kingdom or Disney World. So a couple things from that I wanted to point out. Obviously, the Fast Pass and the Photo Pass are slightly different. But Fast Pass is very easy to get used to once you figured it all out. It's not on the app. You still have the paper ticket at that time. I don't know if it's changed. And then also the Photo Pass. So the Photo Pass is very different. We're a huge proponent of the Memory Maker. Always get it when we go down. Always recommend it to people. The Photo Pass when we went was $39 for the day. And there weren't as many photographers. And the major difference was there weren't a lot of ride picks. So we really, I think, only got Splash Mountain, and I think the only other ride in Disneyland Park was Space Mountain that would give you your ride pick. So, you know, but always recommended, but definitely very different from what we would be used to at Disney World with the Photo Pass. But everything was great. I have a friend of mine who lives in California and goes to Disneyland a lot, so she gave me a lot of great tips. One tip to share with everybody, for some reason, a lot of the rides, the lines always split. She said, whenever the line splits, go left, except Pirates of the Caribbean, go right. And then funny enough, we didn't remember that. So we ended up going left to Pirates and then realized, oh, I think that side is shorter. So that was a fun little tip. But the rides are great. We experienced Big Thunder Mountain there. And it's funny because I'm a bigger girl, so I'm always mindful of, you know, rides and accessibility. And Big Thunder Mountain tip, the heavier person should always go in first. I went in second and I totally squished my partner over here, but that was a lot of fun. But yeah, pretty much the same, smaller, you know, great environment. I got a corn dog, of course, got to enjoy the fireworks. And then what was even more exciting is that the electrical parade was taking place there. So we did get to see it eventually, which was awesome.
Yeah, I guess that was, was that Paint the Night that was going on out there at that point?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it might have been Main Street. I don't know. Yeah, but I still haven't been to Disneyland. And I've been doing the show almost, you know, it'll be 11 years here in a couple of months. And I said I would probably go like the first year we started the show. It's been a decade now. That's crazy to think about. But I mean, is a Disney fan, because like I've never been. So when I go out there, I don't know if I can actually feel nostalgia because I have no history with the park yet. I've seen all the footage of Walt Disney walking, you know, Main Street USA and, you know, driving the train at Disneyland. Did you feel that connection to that park a little bit more than you might in Florida?
No, I think I'm pretty much the same as you. I don't know too much of the history. I know what, you know, people talk about. It definitely felt more original and, you know, it definitely felt different. Disney World is huge. And that more intimate feeling, even though, of course, it's still big, it's not super intimate, was nice. And, you know, we popped into some of the stores. There was a really cool store, and I'm sure they have it in Disney World, but we haven't come across it, where you have the animators, and there's an animator live just, you know, drawing cartoons. And just there were some different things that felt very true, you know, to the origins of everything. And we really enjoyed it. It was really nice.
So let me ask you this, since you've been to both now, because I get feedback about 50-50 on this. Do you prefer the Fast Pass system at Walt Disney World with the My Disney Experience, you know, in the app and, you know, the electronic Fast Passes, or did you enjoy the legacy system out at Disneyland that was paper where, you know, you can hustle around and collect fast passes and stuff like that. Which did you like better?
The electronic is definitely better. I mean, you also are dealing with a bigger crowd, per se, at Disney World. But Disneyland, it's a matter of, okay, let's get this fast pass. Okay, now let's go to this ride. And by the time we're done with this ride, then we'll make our way back here. And there's definitely a lot more strategy behind it in terms of, you know, movement, because you got to get there and get back. But the electronic all the way. I mean, there's nothing like being on the line, using up your third fast pass, and being on the line looking for another fast pass.
That's right.
And in terms of the planner, I like having that all planned out before we go. So I know when we eat, I know which area to be in. I like knowing all that before we go.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm not a planner for my own vacations. Trust me, I plan vacations all day, every day. But when it comes to mine, I'm like, like I went down for Marathon Weekend, didn't have one ADR, didn't have one fast pass when I got there. And I had a great time, you know, but yeah, seriously.
You've won so many times. I think at some point it probably gets like that. You're like, you know, I'm just going to wear... The wind blows me.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even have tickets when I went down because my AP had expired, and I renewed it. I renewed it, I think, on the plane. And so, you know, I just didn't worry. You know, it's like I was just going to – and I was by myself, so it's a very different kind of trip. You know, I wasn't worried about, you know, having a schedule or anything like that. But, yeah, it was awesome. Like, I did it kind of as a thought experiment. Like, is it cool to go down there without anything still, you know, in 2019? And yeah, it was. It was fine. But you're right. I mean, if you're a planner, I could totally see where you're coming from, where I was in my element when I would get into the Magic Kingdom. And like back in the day, you could collect all those fast passes. They didn't at first. Well, for a long time, they didn't worry about the return times. You could use it anytime the rest of the day. And so, man, by like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd have a fast pass for like five rides that night. We'd go back to the hotel, take a break, and then we came back at night. Man, we were just hooked up. We were riding everything. We had the fast passes back. I mean, you had to walk 28 miles because I was the one who had to go get them. But, yeah, man, I miss those days. Oh, man, that was perfect for the non-planner. But you're right. You got to be a planner nowadays. All right, so you guys also did a trip back in December. You did a split stay down at World. Okay, so now we've gone World, Land, and now we're coming back to World. So tell us about that one.
So a little extra fun. As we booked our December trip, me and my girlfriend, you know, we started to talk about getting married and all of this, and I kind of dropped like, oh, wouldn't it be great to, you know, get engaged in Disney World in front of the castle? And I was like, nah. I want my family around. I don't think that's a good idea. But meanwhile, she had already been thinking about it. So a couple of weeks before we went down, she somehow lured me into a mall and was like, oh, look at the Disney store. Didn't you want to look and get some ears for the trip? And I'm like, oh, my God, yeah. And we walk in, and it's funny because this was November 20th. We walk in, and the manager is, you know, welcome to the Disney store. We're getting ready for Mickey's birthday. And in my head, I'm like, Mickey's birthday was a couple days ago. Like, what are they talking about? And little did I know, a couple steps forward, and my now fiance has planned out this whole proposal in the Disney store, the ring, a little Beauty and the Beast flower, two minis next to each other, my family hiding in the back of the store, photographer there. It's a whole big surprise. And I had asked her about it. She said, well, I couldn't do Disney World, so I did the next best thing, the Disney store. It was really exciting to be able to go down to Disney. And, you know, you always have to celebrate something, but this was something really awesome to be able to celebrate while we were down there this time around. So
that's a pretty great idea, though. I mean, it's like your local taste of Disney in your town. You know, like we have a Disney store, we have an outlet. Yeah, so at least you're kind of, I mean, in that environment. That's super creative because you're right. You want to have your loved ones around and want to be able to share that moment. I like that.
Yeah, and now anytime we go to the mall, we can see at the spot where it happens.
That's right. It's like when my wife and I, there's a jogging path near our home about 10 minutes away, and there's a bench there, and that's where I proposed to my wife. I mean, it's not very exciting. It's a bench on the Missouri River, but hey, that's our bench. So when we go to the fireworks on the 4th of July, we look at our bench. So there you go. It's like your Disney store.
Oh,
I like it.
That's cute. I like that.
I'm not super creative. I just found a path and a bench and a park, and boom, let's get married. So yeah, I didn't do all that elaborate stuff. I didn't have plushes and photographers and all that. It was like, hey, you want to get married? Yeah, let's go. Okay, all right. Then we hopped on a train and had dinner. It was awesome. No.
Yeah. No, I'm very lucky. I have a good one. So as we planned our trip, I was like, they talk all the time about a split stay on the podcast. We have to do that. Like, how awesome we'd be able to experience two places. So it was funny because as we went into our next trip, I was like, oh, we got this down pat. Like, I know exactly what's going to happen. Let's do 3 nights at an all-star so we save a little bit of money, and 3 nights at Contemporary. Contemporary is my fiance's, you know, bucket list resort to stay at. So I was like, well, if I'm hijacking 3 years of vacations at Disney, let me at least give her the resort that she wants to stay at. So I'm like, we're going to do this. We'll get free dining. Awesome. So free dining releases. And I'm totally wrong. You need a minimum of 4 days for a park ticket. Like, all these minimums that I didn't even take into consideration. So we actually switched things up a little bit. We decided to go with 2 moderates. We did 3 nights at Caribbean Beach and 3 nights at Port Orleans French Quarter. And it ended up being a couple $100 less than if we would have done the value and the deluxe and all of that. So it still ends up saving us a little bit of money, and actually was an amazing choice for us to make. So another fun thing, our magic band arrived the same day as our engagement. So, of course, I take a picture with the magic band and the ring, and I post it on the Facebook group. And I'm like, oh, guys, look what happened today. And someone is like, now that's the real magic band. I was like, yes, it is.
Yeah, it is,
so,
I guess.
So that was a fun coincidence. So, yeah, so we flew in. And actually, another thing to mention, I had, for whatever reason, not gotten our flight information in on time. So we didn't get our Magical Express luggage tags. I was worried about, you know, oh my God, is our luggage going to make it there? Do we have to, oh my God, imagine if we have to carry our luggage to our room? That's not what Disney's about.
Unless you get in like I did for Marathon at midnight, then you do have to carry your luggage to your room.
But you have no choice. But we had no problem. When we went down to Magical Express, we gave our bag check numbers to the person checking us in, and you know, like, pixie dust. Our luggage ended up in our room later that night. So that's one thing for people to keep in mind if they happen to not get that information in on time.
Yeah,
so,
let me jump in on that one real quick, because I want to clarify that for everybody that's listening today. I'm glad you brought that up. So if for some reason you book a last-minute trip, or for whatever reason you just forget to make your Disney's Magical Express reservation, you want to still make the reservation, have your travel agent make it for you, or, you know, make it yourself at disneysmagicalexpress.com. But if you don't get the tags in time, it's not a big deal. They're not magic. They're stickers. But they're good to have. But the thing is, what you can do, here's the procedure real quick. We have a whole thing we give to our guests at the Magic for Less. But if you don't get your tags, it's not a big deal. Check your luggage at your home airport. They will give you a receipt for your checked bags. You know, they give that little sticker corner piece that you keep. You put that in your pocket, get on your plane, fly down. And then when you check in, like you said, when you get to the Magical Express check-in at Orlando International, give that checked luggage receipt to the cast member. And what they'll do is, at that point, they'll still retrieve your luggage for you. They'll tag it at that point, and they'll get delivered to the hotel. So you don't have to worry about it. You can still get everything delivered right there. You just don't have the sticker. So just hang on to those checked luggage receipts at your home airport. When you get down there, give it to the cast member at DME, and you're all set. So I know a lot of people sweat that. So I'm glad you brought that up, Veronica, because that's a great tip.
Yeah, no, I definitely was sweating. And I was like, oh my God, how did I miss that? But yeah, no, I mean, you know, Disney goes above and beyond. So there's always some kind of solution. Caribbean Beach is gorgeous. We have no experience of it prior to the renovations, but we really enjoy staying there. The lobby was beautiful. The pool was amazing. The food court was delicious. It was, you know, the holiday season, so it was fun Caribbean Christmas music, which I had to find on YouTube. And there was one song that stuck with me. I love it. I still listen to it. But Caribbean Beach was beautiful. We really enjoyed it. It was big. You know, there were some times where, like, it was a lot of walking, but overall, great experience staying there. So that first day we did, you know, our usual. We went to the park that shall not be named. And I actually, my fiance is a Harry Potter fanatic. And I proposed back to her in Diagon Alley, which is her favorite place in the world. So that way, you know, we both have a ring. We both have something to celebrate. And that was a great way to kick off our vacation. After we went to Universal, we wanted to try out Geyser Point. I had looked all over what's a good, you know, resort, you know, quick service that we can go to. Unfortunately, it was way too cold, which we were kind of mad about coming from Jersey. We were like, Florida, why are we wearing mittens and a scarf? But, you know, it happened. So we made our way and enjoyed Roaring Fork. We got chicken and waffles. I know that's your jam.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I had a couple last week. They're good.
time it's on the menu. I got to get it. And we really enjoy Roaring Fork. Was great. Great customer service. We really enjoyed everything about that that meal. The next day we went to Magic Kingdom. We bagged that 8 a.m. BR guest reservation so we can get in before the park opened. We got some beautiful pictures in front of the castle. There's no one really behind you, and I highly recommend anybody who has the ability to wake up that early to do that. It was just a really great experience to be on a pretty much empty Main Street. Halfway through our day at Magic Kingdom, we wanted to book something a little special. So we booked the Dine with an Animal Specialist at Animal Kingdom Lodge, yes. SNR. And that was phenomenal. I highly recommend anybody who's an animal fan. It was about $60 a person. You get a four-course meal at SNR, including bread service, including butter chicken. But you also get to eat with somebody from their animal care team that talks to you about the animals that are in the savannah. You get to go outside. You know, they point them out. They teach you a little bit more. Then you get a little bit more hands-on with one of the tortoises that they have on site. So that was a little special thing that we did, and I highly recommend it to anybody. Another, I'm all about, we're about food and drinks here. So food. In Magic Kingdom, the sweet and spicy chicken waffle sandwich.
My favorite. Sleepy Hollow. Sleepy Hollow, right?
Sleepy Hollow. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Not that I go there a lot. Yeah, I go there a lot.
Phenomenal. Highly recommended as well. And then we wrapped up our night. We got the special after fireworks dessert party, which was really good. I personally think it might be a little bit highly priced, about, you know, $70 a person. But you get the spot in front of the plaza, and then we, you know, unlimited desserts and cheeseburger spring rolls and spinach artichoke dip and ice cream and brownies and all of that. That was a really nice way to end out the evening too, because at the same time you get the spot for the fireworks, and then while everybody's leaving, you dip away and you're, you know, shoving your face full of sweets. So that was another special thing that we treated ourselves to.
Yeah, it's a great splurge for a special trip. I mean, it is expensive, and it's definitely not something you would do every trip. I mean, but if for a very special occasion, it's a lot of fun. But there's no way you can eat your admission price worth in those desserts. You'll make yourself sick. I do it the cheap way. Now I go to the plaza, get an All-American Sundae, stick it out with the crowds, and watch some Happily Ever After. Because that, I love the fireworks and I love the projections on the the castle. But to me, with that show, I've noticed like the last year and a half that it's about the music. I know that it's not all original music, but I just love that Happily Ever After song. And they, you know, like when Go the Distance comes on, being a runner, I'm just like, oh. And I've never even seen Hercules or whatever movie it's from. I just love that song. You know, so it's touching. So you're right. I mean, you can do it as a splurge, but you can also do it the cheap way. Grab an ice cream and find a spot. So I love it. I like you can do things like that.
I think next time we'll just do that. just to go quickly through, I know we're running low on time the rest of our trip. Animal Kingdom, there are a lot of alcoholic drinks in Animal Kingdom now. So for adults or looking for adult-only trips, I think I got at least 6 or 7 mixed drinks while there, including Dole Whip with dark rum. So that was awesome. We also had breakfast at Tusker House, which was phenomenal. And we now are okay with, you know, not doing 1900 Park Fair twice in one vacation. But Tusker House is now a definite right alongside 1900 Park Fair. The food was phenomenal, and the character interaction was really great as well. Of course, we went to Pandora. My fiance, who is a big Avatar fan, felt that it was a little bit of an underwhelming experience. There were opportunities, and also I think just more in the land, talking about the idea that maybe in the future, characters walking around, just a little bit more idea of the movie. It's beautiful, don't get me wrong, but that was kind of, you know, somebody who watched Avatar, I've never seen the movie, that's kind of how she felt. But Flights of Passage as well. Once again, I'm a bigger girl. Couldn't get on Flights of Passage. And did you get on Flights of Passage? I know you're a tall guy. I feel like those leg constraints.
No, I did. But man, those things I cranked down on my calves. Because I have bigger, I have like runners. Yeah. I have like speed skater calves. Like, because I used to speed skate. And so that thing cranked down, and the thing came on my back, and I'm already, I don't like simulators as it is, you know, that's not my jam.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm a little nervous. I'm like, is this thing going to make me hurl? You know, because, like, Star Tours almost makes me puke. And so, like, you know, not only am I, like, worried about the first, you know, I've only ridden it 3 or 4 times now, but, you know, I'm just like, I'm kind of nervous because I'm like, I don't want to get motion sick. And then it's like, you know, you're getting clamped down 6 different ways. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't, yeah. I'm stuck here no matter what. Like, it just gives you like a panic attack, and I'm the least nervous person in the whole world, but I'm just like, I got these gigantic like work goggles on, Yeah, it's a nutty thing. Yeah. It's kind of cool though. I mean, it was all right, but yeah, I think that's the issue is that, you know, it is a very, it's kind of a next level attraction, but it's also because of that, it has, you know, it's intense and it's not going to be for everybody, I don't think.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have done well, but I get kind of motion sickness easily. So probably better off that I couldn't stay on. But my fiance said that it was obviously beautiful, but she expected more of a little bit of a storyline or some like climax or some fighting or something. And it's a little bit of like a Thorin.
Yeah, it is. It was just with a bunch of stuff. I don't know what's going on. You know, like, oh, that one guy looks mad. He's like red. So I guess he's bad. He's coming at us for a second. Yeah, I don't. I could see where people like it, though, because it is like it's like an intense Thorin. Thorin's very, very popular. People love Thorin because it's relaxing, but it's immersive. This is like the e-ticket Thorin, you know, the more intense Thorin.
Yeah. A couple quick things as well. So we took advantage and watched the Winged Encounter show. I was looking at different shows that were happening, and that's where the macaws come out, and they teach you a little bit about the macaws, and then the macaws fly away, and that was really fun. It was a nice kind of break to the day. I probably maybe would have stumbled upon it otherwise, but we really enjoyed that. I also had written in a listener question a while ago that one mission for this trip was to eat as much mac and cheese as possible. So my first mac and cheese happened in Animal Kingdom at Eight Spoon Cafe. I'm sure everyone knows the three different types of mac and cheese, and that was awesome. They have regular mac and cheese with the pulled pork on top, and then a shrimp with a sweet chili sauce. And that shrimp with the sweet chili sauce was bomb.com. lastly, for Animal Kingdom, Nomad Lounge, right next to Tippins, right before you go into Pandora, was really nice, a nice lounge area right on the river. We sat there and enjoyed as the sun went down, enjoyed a drink. They had like a beef brisket poutine, which was really delicious. So I would definitely highly recommend that as well.
Yeah, I've enjoyed a couple of leaping lizards at the Nomad Lounge right on that back patio right over the river, like you said, in a pouring rain. I mean, if you can, you know, because when it rains, you're trying to find a place to escape. I'm just telling you, that is the place to go. Go to the Nomad Lounge. They have couches that are covered on the outside looking over that river. You're looking kind of at Pandora in a good thunderstorm in Florida. Oh, my gosh. With a drink in your hand, and it's called the Leaping Lizard. Oh, my gosh. It was so good. Yeah, I love that place.
Perfection. Our next day was a rest day. After three park days, we were like, we got to take a break. It was also our switchover day. So we checked out of Caribbean Beach. Checked into Port Orleans, and we enjoyed dinner that night. We had gotten the dining plan with the one table service. We saved up a couple table service and went to Yachtsman Steakhouse that night. My fiance loves steak. I had asked you guys, I think, on a live listener question, what kind of steak, and that was highly recommended. And I mean, Yachtsman is just phenomenal. But one thing, too, I know we talked about the idea of split stay and how your dining credits work. So we tried to save them over, and until our day that we checked out, we ended up having a little bit of an issue with it. For some reason, it was showing that we checked out the day before, and our credits weren't showing up on our account. But the manager at Yachtsman was phenomenal, you know, called whoever they needed to call, got us our credits back, and helped us out for that night. But that's something always, you know, it can get kind of tricky with the checkout. To continue to look into.
Yeah, that is the thing when you're doing a split and you have a dining plan is that, I mean, technically the way it works, I mean, the rule is you have to use your dining plan credits by midnight the day you check out. They're still good until midnight, you know, until that day that is over at midnight. But what happens is with Disney systems, they get all wonky because during a split stay, you're actually checked in before midnight on a different reservation. So, yeah, what I always say, I say this phrase about 100 times a day. You're Disney. You're so good at making all this awesome, cool stuff. How can your computer systems not figure this stuff out? Like, come on now. You know, it shouldn't be that hard. But yeah, you're right. And it's a shame you had to waste time on that. But yeah, I've still never eaten a Yachtsman. And I love, I'm kind of a tightwad. So it's expensive. And I, you know, don't always have a dining plan. But man, I love a good steak. So Ricky always brags on that place. And Pam was going to take me there in April, but I didn't feel well. And I'm still kicking myself. I need that rain check.
Yeah, no, it was phenomenal. We got the porterhouse for two. We got the truffle mac and cheese. Of course, we have to get another mac and cheese. The bread, you know, I know you all talked about the rolls. I mean, everything is there. It's phenomenal. The service is fantastic. It's worth the treat. So it definitely is, you know, it'll hit your pocket hard. We wouldn't do it if we didn't have the dining plan. So that's another reason why the dining plan is a fantastic option. And I personally think it is a money saver. Of course, it can't, it's not always. But for us, within those first 3 days, it saved us at least $150, and we were able to, you know, enjoy something as nice as Yasin.
Yeah, it depends.
That we probably wouldn't have treated ourselves to otherwise.
Totally depends how you use it. I mean, whether it's a money saver or breaking even or what have you. Now, let me ask you this real quick. You guys went from Caribbean Beach to French Quarter, both moderate resorts, but very different feels. Because like you said, Caribbean Beach is one of the larger resorts on property. French Quarter is the smallest. So what were, if you had to say, like if I said, you got to go to one of the two tomorrow, which one would you take?
I would tell you French Quarter before you even finish asking the question.
Okay, so give us a reason why French Quarter hit you is a better place to stay.
I don't know. It was just so beautiful. It just made us so happy. The ambiance, and obviously the intimacy is great, how small it is, but just that New Orleans vibe, that laid back, every little detail, all of the house styles look like, all the, you know, hotels look like the houses, the fountain, the pool, the boat ride.
Yeah.
And that's something next time we stay there, we have to do more often. We didn't do the boat ride until our last day. And I was kicking myself because it was just so beautiful. Everything is so beautiful there.
Yeah,
Kirby Beach was nice. You know, we didn't get to go to the pool. It was raining, but that has a really nice pool too. But without a doubt, French Quarter has taken the spot for our top resort.
Yeah, I mean, just Port Orleans in general, Riverside and French Quarter, that combo, they just... I can't stop taking pictures when I'm at those resorts. Caribbean Beach is also beautiful. Don't get me wrong, because it's got that tropical feel to it. But I mean, there's just, I don't know, like especially French Quarter. It's like, I cannot stop taking pictures because there's like, just, I mean, it's just, the buildings are just multicolored. Like you said, each room has like a different colored door, you know, and it kind of different railing and, you know, decor. It's just, it's amazing. And you're right. The jazz music playing in the streets with the lamps at night. It's probably one of the most romantic places on property, you know, definitely.
Definitely. Yeah, I was following your trip along and just kept, you know, drooling. The chicken biscuit sandwich.
Oh, man. You know what? On that, when I was there, so I ran the five, well, I ran all the races, but after the five, and after all the races, you get on a bus, but it's a shared bus that goes to French Quarter and then to Riverside. Now, I was staying at Riverside in the Alligator Bayou. And I'm not exaggerating. I was in Building 24, which is the furthest building at Riverside from French Quarter. It's where the West bus stop is. It is as far from French Quarter on that opposite end of Riverside as you can get. However, I like that biscuit so much at French Quarter. After running races, and this was like at 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was cold the first 2 days. I still debated. I said, well, do I stay on the bus and go to Riverside and get a biscuit there? Nope. I got off at French Quarter, ate my little biscuit and hash browns. The second day, I added a beignet because it was a 10K instead of a 5. Yeah. And then, yeah, I walked all the way down to my room. I mean, God, it must have been a mile and a half. But it was worth it. I loved it, man. It was, oh, so good. They have good food.
And those beignets, they give you 3 at a time. Yes. And you're like, how am I supposed to eat this?
Well, you eat one. You keep the other two in the room. Then it's like, I'm just going to have a couple bites out of that bag right now. You know, like you could tell I was doing it because there was powdered sugar like all over the room. It was on my backpack. It was on my running shoes. I was like, God, it looks like somebody got murdered with powdered sugar in this room. But yeah, who cared? I wasn't cleaning it.
Yes. So yeah, Port Orleans, I mean, from the moment we checked in, it just felt right. It was gorgeous. I can't wait to go back. So we did our last park day was at Epcot. We started off our breakfast at Garden Grill. So that was our first time at Garden Grill. It was nice. I don't know that we would necessarily go back. The character interaction was great, though. The food was delicious. And then one thing, because they give you that chocolate dipping syrup to put on your ooey gooey cinnamon bun. And I use it to dip my fruit into. I was like, I'll take a little chocolate covered strawberry first thing in the morning.
Heck
why
yeah.
not? But we enjoyed it. That was our probably favorite character interaction when Mickey came around. That day I was wearing ears that said, I said yes. And Mickey gave me a big hug and we kind of, you know, nuzzled our noses. And then he saw my ears and he was like, oh my God. And then pointed to my fiance, you, and then pointed to me, you, and like was so excited. So that was definitely our favorite character interaction of the trip. We got to enjoy Soarin'. I got to enjoy Soarin' for the first time. And like you said, it's a beautiful, the smell, like when the smell comes and you're in India, it was just, I could do Soarin' every day. That was such a fun ride. Another highlight of Epcot was Turtle Talk with Crush. Have you done that?
I haven't done that in years. I used to do it all the time, but I probably haven't done it in 5 years. I forgot it was still there.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, I don't know. I think this is going to be lame. I think we're going to talk about the environment. And I was cracking up. It was so cool. Porsche somehow interacts with the audience, and it was just hysterical. I couldn't get enough of it. I can't wait to do that again. From there, we made our way to the showcase. The Festival of the Holidays was out, so we got to enjoy a lot of good food, drank around the world again, got to enjoy mac and cheese. Germany's mac and the noodle gratin, oh my God. Best mac and cheese that we had. I want it right now, thinking about it. You have to get it. So that's at the in Germany, right before you go into the restaurant, there's like a quick service counter area, noodle gratin.
Yep, Oktoberfest.
Catching it with Tepanetto. And then wrapped up the night with Illuminations. And it's funny because I've never seen Illuminations, and I know you talk a lot about it. So it was fun to see that. Well, and then actually hear the music, because the music, I was like, I know that song.
Yeah. You might hear it at the end of today's show. That's right. No, but Veronica, don't fall in love with Illuminations.
Day, our rest day with a monorail lounge crawl. So we hopped on the monorail, started our day at Trader Sam's, Tambu Tambu Lounge. Then we made our way to the Grand Floridian, and we went to Citrix. A little special. We had some pork belly, which was like the best pork belly ever. And it was $17. And we looked at each other. We're like, do you want to order another one? And we did. I don't know. But that was way worth it. Misner's went to Contemporary and finished our at the Lounge Monorail Crawl at the Wave with the Seven Seas Lagoon Big Blue Drink and the Wings. And once again, we looked at each other. We're like, should we order another order of wings? And the wings were phenomenal as well. And that wraps up Epcot. Our last day was the next day. We started off, at 1900 Park Fair. Enjoyed our breakfast. Enjoyed the delicious Egg Benedicts and Pooh Bear and Tigger and all the great characters there. But we really enjoyed the time around. With usually, our last day will kind of leave semi-early. Maybe have enough time for breakfast and then we leave. And we actually booked a kind of later flight. Our flight didn't get off till like about 7 p.m., 8 p.m. And it was almost like an extra day of vacation. So we had breakfast and then we went to Disney Springs and, caught the ferry boat back to Port Orleans and took the Magical Express from there. And I think that that's probably going to become a new tradition as well, because it was nice not to just wake up and leave, because you want to soak in as much Disney as you can.
Yeah, I always book the very last nonstop out back home, because I want that last day to be able to have some fun, and have to maybe catch Magical Express like late afternoon, like you said, it gives you another day of vacation, and that day is going to be shot anyway. I just get home late and, have some fun. But I got to tell you this, Veronica, because I know we're wrapping up here, but that a bunch of us just got back from Marathon Weekend last week. Okay, so we're like 8 days off of Marathon Weekend, and when you do the Dopey Challenge or run a full marathon, like the hunger just like it sticks with you for like a week. So today you are killing all the people who did the challenges and ran the marathon. You're talking about all the best meals on property. You just keep talking about these great mac and cheeses, and that runners like pasta. So yeah, everybody listening to today's show, if they're out on a jog right now, they're jogging to the Pasta House or Olive Garden or something now because of this show. No, it sounds like you guys really did it right. You had three really cool experiences, but you didn't make it like a madhouse. Like you had to scramble all the time, even though you shorter trips, but you were conscious of what you had goals for. It sounds like, but it sounds like every time you just really made the most out of every moment and really enjoyed each moment that you were in. It sounds like such a fun time.
Yeah, no, we did. And, whenever people ask about going to Disney, a lot of the times we, suggest that you go down with some kind of plan, but just, go with the flow. I mean, if you're tired, you're tired. In Disneyland, when we were there, we actually went back to the room in the afternoon, which I know has been talked about before. We took a nap, sat by the pool, and then made our way back for the evening stuff. So if it's a matter of waking up early and doing the morning and going back to the room and taking a break and then coming back, you do that. There were some moments where it was like, we just got to keep going. I know our feet hurt, but we got this. But no, I mean, when you have great company as well, when you're with the people that you love in a place that you love, you can just sit on a bench and watch everybody. And it's a wonderful experience.
That's a perfect, perfect way to put it. And that's a great way to wrap today's show. So Veronica, first of all, congratulations. And thank you so much for coming on the show. Great way to start our Monday.
Thank you. Everyone have a beautiful Monday.
All righty. Don't forget, we got a great new sponsor here, by the way, for today's podcast. You've heard about it at the top of the show. And I believe in these folks because I've been using their product for the last 7 years. before they reached out to me just a few weeks ago. It's called the Running Buddy. Check them out at therunningbuddy.com. What I have is the pouch that holds my iPhone. It's just a magnetic little pouch that clips onto my waistband, and my phone does not jiggle. It's in a safe place. And you know, guys know, I love my iPhones. I am not letting that thing fall and hit the ground. I've never lost or cracked a screen. Knocking on wood, because I'll drop it going upstairs after recording this show is what's going to happen. But I'm telling you, when I'm running, it's safe and it works great. I got a place for my, a plug-in for my headphones and all that stuff. So check out the Running Buddy. Now they want to go after the Disney fans. So they have this Disney Luxe Travel Collection, and it's not just for runners. They have the cutest little Mickey and Minnie Mouse backpacks, purses. They just have a lot of Disney stuff that's great for carrying your stuff around the Disney parks. But if you're a runner, I'm telling you, I've had running belts. I've had all kinds of stuff. 7 years ago, I found the Running Buddy pouch. It's called the Buddy Pouch. I've never used another thing since. I've used the same one for 7 years. This thing has sweat on top of sweat because it's gone with me on all my marathons, all my dopey challenges, every run around the block. And you guys know how many times I run around the block. It's a tried and true product. And so we're partnering with them. And just drop by the site, therunningbuddy.com. Check out all the Disney stuff. And when you go to checkout, just type in Be Our Guest, no spaces. You get 10% off at checkout and a free Disney pin with each purchase. So check them out today over at therunningbuddy.com. And also, check out our friends at touringplans.com. Stay out of line, see the most amount of attractions possible on that next Disneyland, Walt Disney World, or Universal Vacation. Of course, they're over at touringplans.com. And thanks to everybody who supports the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you do that online shopping, we sure appreciate it. When you click through that link, it goes to the hosting and the bandwidth and all that stuff. And I can't thank you enough. And if you've never done that, please consider doing that the next time you shop online. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike and at Be Our Guest Pod. And of course, drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, time to get out of here. Let you get on with your week. Hope you're having a nice day off. If you're at work, hey, hang in there. 4 more days and it's the weekend once again. So for Veronica, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Thanks for checking in, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.